You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Thank you, James. Good morning. Wow. Y'all doing well? How many of you are tired of hearing the word unprecedented? I'm going to go back to precedented or to sedented times. I don't know what that means, but anyway, it's so unusual. It's the most complex time I think we've ever, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. But the Lord is moving. God is doing things, and He wants to really keep us on track and keep us focused on what He's doing and not let the circumstances dictate to us what's up. We've been trying to figure things out. I have never seen God's people so polarized, on opinions. And I really feel it's time. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be listening to social media and various opinions, but it's really time to hear God. It's really time to set our hearts at rest in the presence of the Lord, to hear God's perspective and to focus on Him and to give people freedom. You know, we've been using a phrase at our church that we're all in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. For some people in our house, they've lost loved ones to the virus, and they've lost jobs. They've lost funding. It's been tragic. Other people just couldn't find toilet paper for about 3 months, and so everybody had a different experience. But I really feel it's important for us to be sensitive to the fact that various people in various places have had different experiences. Some of my pastor friends in Harrisburg, in the Church of God in Christ, they, over the course of the COVID virus, 11 of their bishops died because of the COVID. They were together for a joint retreat at the beginning of when we were all figuring out what is Wuhan. You know, is it a new dish with noodles, or what in the world is Wuhan? What is COVID? What is coronavirus? Is it a new kind of beer? I mean, it's all kind of what is all this? We're still trying to figure it out. They had a retreat and they shared common cup communion. They were all together, it ended that way. And so we're appreciating where different people are at and walking with sensitivity. I think it's really important for us now not to be judging one another, not to judge that those who are in one camp don't care. Another camp don't have faith. I really think it's really a time for us to be pursuing the unity of the Holy Spirit. So I'm hoping to help with that today. I have a word from the Lord. I love how Jesus is a good shepherd. I mean, isn't he? I mean, really, he's a good shepherd of our hearts, of our souls. He is just amazing. Jesus, we're so grateful for you. And I'm amazing how his words are like timeless. These words we're going to look at in Matthew 24, they're like 2,000 years ago he said them, but they're timeless and they're timely for us today. And so let's just take a look here, a couple verses in Matthew 24, and then I'll just want to encourage you with some of the words that Jesus said. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." So Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple, which the Romans did. A number of years later, it happened. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age be?" Now, any time throughout the 2,000-year history of the church, any time there's been a calamity, every generation has asked, "Is Jesus coming back again?" Including ours. So this is not a new thing for us to wonder, is Jesus coming back again? Okay? Now, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." So even when there's calamity, the end is still to come. It's not the end. What can look like the end and feel like the end is not the end. Okay, then what is the end? "Nation will rise against nation." That word there for nation is ethnos. Ethnic uprisings. Ethnic division. It's been here. "The enemy loves to divide. kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And one of the root meanings of the word famine means including pestilence, including diseases. Nothing. This is 2,000 years ago. Jesus said that. Earthquakes in various places. All these things are the, what? Beginning of birth pangs. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Some of my friends in India recently experienced this again. It's been going on, the enemy opposing, trying to shut down the church. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he or she who stands firm to the end will be saved. He or she who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be, not might be, should be, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Then the end will come. Now, let's take a look at a couple things here. I want to give you three things that Jesus calls us to do, because I believe that we're called to be leaders in the last days. Now, first of all, let's talk about last days, the meaning of what do the words of last days or end times mean? Well, the word last or end, it means when things are finished, they've come to finality. It doesn't just mean the running out of the clock. It means the accomplishing of every goal. So the end times or the last days throughout history of the church have been the period of time between when Jesus ascended and Jesus will return. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So these are not just the last days. It's we've been in those that last day period for all this time. Now, this event that we've been walking through, this COVID-19 event, it is a last days event among many last days events. It's affected the whole world. It's literally shaken the whole world. I believe that one of the scriptures that speaks to it is God says in Hebrews 12, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? So that my unshakable kingdom emerges on the planet. And he's calling you and I to be part of that unshakable people. We are an unshakable kingdom. It can shake and rock and roll all around us, and we're steady Eddie. We're settled in who he is and what he said he will be. Now, Jesus gave three instructions to us about how to lead in this passage I just read. Here's the first one. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And it literally is, you don't be deceived. You don't allow yourself to be deceived. We take the responsibility for that. Be discerning. Be wise. Know what's really going on. Now, deception, when the enemy comes to deceive us, there are really three areas he likes. There's nothing new. The enemy's tactics are the same throughout history. What does he usually want to deceive us about? Well, first of all, he wants to deceive us about who God is. In the garden with Adam and Eve, the very first thing is, did God really say, can you trust God? Is God really true to his word? Do you really believe God's word? So the first challenge that the enemy brings to deceive us is to talk us out of believing that God is who he is. And the second thing he tries to do is to try to talk us out of believing that we are who God made us to be. Look at the attack of Jesus in the wilderness. The temptation of the devil against Jesus. Jesus had just been in the Jordan River, baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens open, his father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So what did Satan come to deceive? He said, if you're the son of God, notice he dropped the word beloved right away. Because when you know you're loved, when you know you be loved, no matter what's going on, you be loved. When you live in the love of God, the perfect love of God casts out all fear. So he right away tried to talk Jesus out of being loved, and then he tried to talk him out of being the Son of God. And then the third thing the enemy tries to deceive us in is that anything we attempt to do in obedience to the Lord has no effect. That's powerless. It doesn't affect anything. Now, how do we stand against the deception of the enemy? A couple ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will lead us into all truth. And I really want you to hear this. Greater is the Holy Spirit's ability to lead us into truth than the enemy's ability to lead us into deception. So this is not, you know, this is not Star Wars. This is not the dark side and the light side of the force. And who's going to win? Actually, see, Satan is not the opposite of God. God has no opposites. He alone is God. Satan is not a fallen God. He's a fallen angel. In fact, at the end of it all, when Satan gets dropped into the bottomless pit, we don't even know the name of the angel. I don't know how they're going to do it. Lottery, you know, show of hands, angel Olympics, you know, I don't know, halo tossing. You know, I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but somehow one of the angels, we don't even know who, is going to get to drop Satan into the bottomless pit. So the opposite of Satan is an angel. He is defeated. Greater is the Lord in us than he that's in the world. See, so listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, some people have been saying, well, I think we should just turn off the computers and turn off the TV and not listen to any news. Well, I don't know about what you guys did. I'll just tell you what. When this thing first started in March, it was kind of like a blizzard. You know, it's kind of like something we'd never seen before. And like when there's a blizzard, we watch the weather. The only time we watch the Weather Channel is when there's snow. You know, we get excited seeing Doppler things move across the country and dump inches and inches of snow on us. So we were watching the news like every single night. And one night it was playing in the background and I was in the kitchen and I wasn't even hearing any of the words that were being said. I just heard the way they were saying it. I thought, man, I don't even know what the guy's saying. And I want to just, you know, panic, curl up on the floor like a baby and scream for my mom. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just worse. It's horrible. And so, I'm not advocating today, stick your head in the ground and ignore any of the information that's coming. But I do want to put something in perspective. We're told let me get the verse here. 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar understood the times, but they knew what God wanted them to do. So being oblivious to what's happening is not a good place. But to stop there is not a good place. We really need to know what God wants us to do. And one of the things we've begun to do is when we hear news, either social media, someone sends us a video, or we watch a little news clip, and man, have you been having videos sent to you? I've never knew so many videos could be sent to people. You know, kind of imagine what Job would have been like if they had social media in his day. You know, not only do you get three friends telling you what they think, you got everybody telling you what they think. So, we felt the Lord nudge us to say, okay, let's take what we just heard and turn it off and ask the Holy Spirit what he has to say about that. And I will tell you, you ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on, to give you peace about what's going on or trouble about what's going on, he will help you, because we have this promise. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Greater is his ability to lead us into truth than the enemy's capacity to scare us or to deceive us. The other thing I would say is recognize the voice of God. And when God speaks, please hear this one. When God speaks, he always ends and lands at the place of hope. If it doesn't lead to hope, either someone who was listening heard God but didn't listen long enough, tuned out before it was over. I saw something in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel started to get a vision of some things that would happen in the last days. And there was some tragic, whoa, whoa, whoa. But 10 times throughout that chapter, Daniel said, but I kept listening. But I kept listening, but I kept listening, but I kept listening. And at the end, it landed in, and there I was in the presence of the Ancient of Days. And he told me that I'm going to raise up my people among all the hills of the earth to be the tallest mountain on the planet. And I'm going to cause my reign to be known in the earth. I win in the end. If it doesn't lead to hope, either it's not from God or we've not been listening long enough to what's been told. I mean, let me really, I'll just be honest. I got a video sent to me. I think at least 12 different people from our church sent it to me, and it came out about a month or so ago. I saw that within 2 days after it was out, that thousands of people had listened to it. And it was a pastor, a real precious pastor. I believe a dear man. I believe a sincere man. I believe a humble man. But he shared a picture of seeing the White House burning and the world falling apart. And he ended there. And his punchline was, well, arm yourself, brace yourself, load up on food. And, you know, basically, hope we make it. I will tell you, I am not saying he's a false prophet. Please don't hear that. I believe he's a sincere man. I believe he may have had a revelation from the Lord. We need to know a few things about God speaking to us. There are times that God reveals something to us for us to pray that it doesn't happen. I mean, what God showed Jonah didn't happen in Nineveh. God said, this is what's going to happen in Nineveh if they don't repent. So God wasn't trying to say, hey, you know, like it or not, here I come, and, you know, there you go, you know. And I really believe that this pastor admitted that in the video, and maybe some of you have seen it, he admitted, he said, I'm not a prophet, you know, this is a new thing for me. And I believe he showed some of the traits of a novice at prophesying, because unlike Daniel, I don't think he listened long enough. That's my opinion. I'm giving you an opinion. But I feel if it doesn't land in hope, it's not God, or it's not all that God is saying. Because I love this. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the word hope is not wishful thinking, like we say, well, I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope it doesn't snow, or I hope it doesn't this or that. Hope means a joyful, confident anticipation that God will fulfill his promise. It's a confident, joyful anticipation that God will fulfill his promise. Now listen, you say, well, doesn't God correct us? Yes, he does. But even when God corrects us, he does so hopefully. He does it so that you're going to come through this. So the first word from Jesus is don't be deceived. And the second word from Jesus is don't be frightened, or don't be alarmed. The word that Jesus used here for frightened is an interesting word. See if this strikes home with you. The word he used for frightened is the clamorous airing of opinions resulting in confusion. I told you his word is timeless, and it's timely. The clamorous airing of opinion. This was before social media. Jesus said this. He said, what you're going to find is there's the clamorous sharing of opinions, and it can result in confusion. Don't get caught up in it. Jesus said, don't allow yourself to get caught up in the confusion. Now, our friend Johnny Enlow said that when fear strikes us, our flesh will go one of two places. Our flesh will either lock down. Is it over yet? Please tell me it's over. When's this going to stop? Our flesh will go to a hiding place. Our flesh will be tempted to go into a shutdown, withholding place, just going, moving into neutral. Or our flesh can lash out. Our flesh can get angry. Our flesh can look for somebody to blame. It's like Peter grabbing the sword when Jesus was being arrested. And you could tell he was a fisherman and not a swordsman. You know, he cut the guy's ear off, and Jesus could, healed him. Of course, I'm glad he wasn't a better swordsman. Jesus would have had another kind of healing to do there. But it lashes out. So one of the two ways our flesh goes in fear is to either hide and withdraw and withhold, or to blame someone. How do we avoid living like that? I love this admonition from Jude, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Just keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God when you see some politicians on the screen that you don't like, and pray for them. Keep yourself in the love of God when you sense and hear about some schemes, which I believe are going on. When there's some schemes going on and some that the Lord would expose them. And keep yourself in the love of God. God loves us. He's not abandoned us. We're not victims. The worst place to go right now is to live like a victim. We're not victims, because when you spend time, see, I'll tell you, deception tries to tell us God's not who he says he is, but I tell you, revelation from the Holy Spirit will tell us that greater is he in us than he that's in the world. And in him, we are more than conquerors, and our labor is never in vain in the Lord. Dave, are you telling me that we go out and we worship in a park where the enemy had some people dump a body and it's become a memorial to drug overdose, and you think we can shift it? You know it. Our labor's never in vain in the Lord. We can shift climates and change things. Actually, you know, when the Lord said we're the head and not the tail, he said you're not just dragging on behind what everybody else wants to do. No, you're the head. And the word head means those who move and shake things up. In the Spirit, we're movers and shakers. We're not just blindly coming behind. I don't know what's going on. I'm just No. We're to take the initiative. We can shift climates. You can shift cultures. You can make declarations. There's life and power in our tongue. It's just so, you know, just powerful. I mean, you know, that's why we feel good when we come together here. I mean, we didn't spend 45 minutes singing the blues. We spent 45 minutes declaring that God's able and his glory's coming and his chains are falling off and fear stops now. I mean, that's why. And the Lord wants us to, this is not the high point of our week, this is the huddle of our week. And we go back into the game and keep doing it. You know, you walk into the lunchroom if you are going back to work, and if people are there, and they're probably distancing, but if you're there and it's been creepy, hasn't it been strange? I mean, I feel like a surgeon going to the grocery store, and just it's just really strange, you know? I went to a salad bar the other day. I felt like I was doing surgery on lettuce, you know? I got gloves on, I got a mask on, I got people standing away from me and looking terrified. Don't touch those tomatoes. You know, it's just... It's just been really, really strange. But we do not have to be victims of the clamorous opinions that are circling around. God's on the move. So here's the final word from Jesus. And he says it three times. Matthew 24, 42, 44, and Matthew 25, 13. He says, be on the alert. Be alert. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on. Actually, the word alert means to be roused from death, to be roused from oblivion, to be roused from sleep, and have all your senses awakened. Do you know it's possible to be watchful without being fearful? It's just what perspective we watch with. I mean Jesus didn't paint a picture like, if you follow me. See, when I came to Jesus back in the 1960s, there was a song that we sang, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor. And the end of the line of the psalm was, happiness all the time, wonderful peace is mine, since I've found the Lord. Well, about 2 weeks into my walk with Jesus, I wanted my money back. or I wanted the people who wrote that song to be sued, because I will tell you, it's not happiness all the time. And Jesus did not paint a picture of happiness all the time, if you follow me. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. And the word he used for tribulation means that which comes to assault your senses and knock you flat. It doesn't mean a flat tire, you know, or a hangnail. I mean, it's stuff that wants to put you under. In the world, you will have this, but you can be of good cheer. You can be of a resilient cheer that faces the fact, that faces the issues, but you're not going to let it dictate where your heart's going. And you're in that place. Cheer doesn't mean you put a smile on your face. Cheer means the confident assurance that you're going to make it. So be on the alert. There's several things then. Jesus told stories. And there, I just want to wrap up with these. Jesus told four stories to tell them, or three stories to tell them what to be alert to. Okay? Here they are. Jesus told a story about a fig tree. He said, you look at the fig tree, you can tell what season it is by the color of the leaves, just like we do around here. You tell what season it is. Jesus said, be alert to the seasons. We're in a season. And I will tell you that as much as I appreciate people's attempts in government to try to help us through this unprecedented time, you know, we went from green to yellow, we went from red to, I don't even know what color we are. It was a color wheel. We went from red to yellow to green to gray, and we don't quite understand what all is happening right now. But I will tell you that we're not in a green season. We're not in a yellow one or a red one. We're in a glory season. We're in a glory season. What's going on in this season? A couple things. One, there's a readiness to receive Jesus more than ever before. There is a ripeness, a readiness to receive Jesus more than ever before. I was talking with a friend of mine at a wedding yesterday, and she said, she had asked me to pray with her. She asked Sherry, my wife, and I to pray for a couple months ago. She said, hey, a woman just joined my staff at work, and she openly told us all, I'm a witch, I'm a practicing witch. And there's nothing you can do to convince me otherwise. And I'm going to do what I do. And she said, well, I'm a Christian. She said, well, you can try what you want to try in Jesus' name, but it's not going to work. And she kind of, you know, gave this, you know, just let them know right up front, hello, I'm a witch, which I don't know. Typically in my life, I've not had people just kind of right come up to me and say, hello, I'm a, you know, witch or warlock. But this woman did. Well, several weeks ago, she had a tragedy strike her family. Somebody got really sick, and she came to our friend and said, I'm trying all I can. I'm using all of my stuff to try to get that to change. It's not working. Can you pray? She told me at the wedding, she said, Thursday afternoon at lunch, I led her to Jesus. There is a readiness. I'll tell you, some of the toughest cookies are going to fall. Just before COVID hit, I was at a conference in Bulgaria, and a man got up. He was an ISIS trainer, training in the Taliban, an ISIS-skilled trainer. And he had an encounter. He was hostily going after some pastors to shut things down. And when he saw the reaction of the pastors, his heart was cut to the quick, and ended up he gave his heart to Jesus. And I watched this man. Now, he was singing. I love the various cultures and the various languages. He was singing in his native language, and I didn't know a word of what he said until he said Jesus in the song. But I saw this guy with passion, you know, singing, kind of it was kind of like a Arabic Bruce Springsteen feel to this song, and he's just singing with gusto, just worshiping the Lord. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you are mighty to save, because there are people who would have said, that guy never going to come. And sometimes we forget that Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist who hated Christians, hated that church, who came and became a builder of the church. That's how mighty Jesus is to save. And there are people all around us that want to know him. You know, I typically don't wear a ball cap. Long story. Well, we have a rescue dog in our house. We got a rescue dog a couple years ago. And when I put a ball cap on, she cringed and ran away. And we figured out somebody must have beat her with a ball cap. So I just didn't wear a ball cap. But I was ready to go to the grocery store. And going out the door, I thought, you know what? My hair is, like, I didn't have a haircut for, the mullet was coming back. The mullet, and I don't know, it was a side mullet. It was a mullet everywhere. It was just like total mullet look. And so I just kind of stuffed it up in, and I put this blue ball cap on, and I walked in the grocery store, and I didn't feel like being evangelistic that day. I thought I am just, you know, I have a ball cap on. I got hair, like massive hair up in there, and I got a mask on, and people are looking at me like I have cooties and running away from me, and it just was a whole bizarre situation. And I'm standing there in one of the aisles, and an older gentleman came up to me, and I could see the fear in his eyes. That's all I could see of him, and so, I could see the fear in his eyes, and he said, "You're the guy." And I thought, what did I do? You know? Is my mask crooked or something? I'm going to get, you know. And he said, my wife's out in the car. I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death to even be in here. I feel like I'm going to get the disease the minute I walk in. And he said, I said to God, I need help. And he said, this thought came to me. Go to the guy with the blue ball cap. So he said, so you're the guy in the blue ball cap. He said, God sent me to you. And I said, well, I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. And I said, can I pray for you? I ended up praying for him. And then he said, what about my wife? I said, do you have a Bible? He says, yeah, we got a Bible. We got Bibles all over our house. I said, go to Psalm 91 and read Psalm 91 over your wife. And tell your wife that she's not being attacked by COVID-19. She's covered 91. She's covered by the one who puts his wings around her and guards her and keeps her. And so he thanked me. People are ripe. People are ready. People are ready to know. What God's also doing in this season is he's pulling back the curtain on works of darkness, and he's exposing works of darkness. And right now, we have friends who are involved in Thailand. We have friends involved in our city, in our region, who are exposing human trafficking and sex trafficking, and they're setting people free from trafficking. And they said they've never had more support. I just want to be honest here. They've never had more support from a presidential administration than the Trump administration funding the abolition of sex trafficking. And not trying to be, I'm just saying that there's favor that God has given in this hour through human authorities to fund and to see people set free. Now, our friends who oversee a ministry called Peace Promise in the Harrisburg region and are setting women free from sex trafficking and the sex trade have seen more women get set free from the sex trade and sex trafficking since March than they have the entire time that their ministry has been in existence for about 7 years. Because the clubs got shut down. The clubs got shut down. And then the women had time on their hands to really ponder, what am I doing with my life? And the Holy Spirit just really ministered to them. So they've seen lots and lots of women set free. And they saw one of the owners and directors of the clubs come to Jesus as well through this COVID season. I will tell you, there's a ripeness and a readiness to receive the gospel of the kingdom of God. There's an openness like never before. And I would say, even if you have friends who are shut down, those listening right now at home, if for various reasons, for your own health, you're not going out, let's use Facebook for some positive stuff. Let's get good news out. Let's get hope news out. Let's encourage people. So Jesus said that we should watch the season. The second thing he said is, be like an owner of a home who's looking for a thief. Be aware of the schemes of the devil. And the schemes of the enemy really have always been to discourage, to divide, That's what he's always been trying to do, discourage, divide. I believe the enemy would love to distract. So let's keep focused on what Jesus is saying, and let's stay united. Let's build one another up. The third thing that Jesus said is, be like a servant who oversees a household and makes sure people are well fed. And I would say this is a word from Jesus to us. Guard what you're feeding on, and then guard what you're feeding others. Because what we feed on will feed others. If we feed on frustration, if we feed on fear, that's what's going to come out the minute we're with other people. But it's time to be aware of what's going on. But what is God saying? And what is God doing? You know? Hey, spread this word. Say, hey, you know, I heard some guy talking the other day, and he met a Taliban trainer who now has come to Jesus. God, Jesus can save anybody. I mean, pass that on. That'd be great news, you know? You know, that's a lot better news than Joe Biden forgot his name again or something else like that. I mean, you know, there's just saying. So the final thing here is this. It was the last word I read from Matthew 24. Let's stay focused on the ultimate goal. What is the goal? Getting through this? Getting out of this? No. The ultimate goal for us has always been, what's the goal? That the gospel of the kingdom of good King Jesus will be proclaimed and demonstrated to all the world. Now, the word that's used there for world is cosmos. It means the systems of the world. It means the educational system. Hey, there's an opportunity right now. See what God would have you do as a church with the educational system. You know? We're seeing the Lord put some stuff together for us to connect with schools and connect with families and connect with parents and give them a place to come. And we have some retired teachers and others that are on their spare time. They're going to be helping parents to coach their kids and help kids through. But you know, who knows? Take opportunities. Get involved where the Lord's leading you. See where the passion and gifting in your life leads you. It's an indication of where He wants you to go. And then this good King Jesus kingdom gospel will be proclaimed to all the ethnos. The word for nations is ethnos. I believe there's an ethnic healing that is happening. Let's go after what it takes. Let's listen to one another's stories. I've heard people attempting to say, well, I'm not racist and I'm colorblind. Well, that's not a wonderful thing to say, really, because God's not colorblind. God loves color. God loves ethnicity. God loves creativity. God is not into globalization. God is not into one world order. Revelation says that every tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered before the throne of God in their uniqueness, bringing their cultural uniqueness. God's bringing, you know, in the middle of all of this, God's bringing ethnic healing. He's bringing racial healing, racial unifying. And it's been absolutely wonderful to see what the Lord is doing. You know, let's stay focused. Let's stay focused on what the Lord's called us to. You know, a few years ago, I brought a couple books along. I brought my my testimony book. 22 years ago, I was in a cancer ward at Holy Spirit Hospital, and I was there for 6 months in the same room. I could repaint the pictures that were on the wall. I named the ceiling tiles. I knew the room. I was there. There I was, you know, day after day. And at one point in about the fifth month or so, I remember just being absolutely frustrated, tired of being detained, wondering how long is this going to go on? When's this going to end? And the elders came to my room, and we had an elders meeting. But they got to leave, and they had clothes. I had some kind of bib thing on that they called a gown, but they didn't pay the seamstress to put the back together. I think it was security. I wasn't going to go anywhere with that thing on. So they're walking out the door, and I'm watching them. I went to the window, and I'm looking out, and I'm watching them go to their cars and go home. And I was just feeling sorry for myself and feeling frustrated. And I was saying, Lord, how long is this going to go on? My Bible was laying there. I opened my Bible, and I opened it to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. And Paul was in prison when he wrote that. And it was a Roman prison, not a nice prison. Now, he wasn't in some social room, you know, sitting at a table, just jotting with stationery. No, it was a terrible, terrible place. And the Philippian church was coming under persecution and opposition, so they're scared. And Paul said in Philippians 1:20, this little phrase jumped out at me because I had asked the Lord, what do I do? As always, so now. That's the phrase. As always, so now. And I would say that to the church today. What's God called us to do? Yeah, but we got this thing. We got this virus. I don't know. We don't know how long it's going to be. First we're red, then we're green, then we're gray, then we're I don't know what we are. You know, all of this stuff, but we can't let it distract us. We are called to demonstrate and declare the goodness of good King Jesus, that he can be known on the planet. There's no sin he can't forgive. There's no chain he can't break. There's no life he can't restore. There's nothing that is impossible for him to do. There is not one thing that's impossible for him to do. In a time that's void of hope, and void of good news, we've got good news. We got like the best news. In fact, the word good, we use good in English like, good. It was good. How was it? It was good. You know, if I said that to my wife, well, what did you think of dinner? It was good. You know, I'd be needing some healing prayer. So, but good in the Bible means you can't find anything better. The Lord is good. You can't find anything better. Look all you want to. You won't. Good news. We've got good news of hope to share. Now, think about it. When did the church start? And where did the church start? This church that if you read the book of Acts, they turned the world upside down for Jesus. Where did those rip-snorting, world-turning, upside-down people come from? They started in an upper room where they were tearful and fearful and hiding. And Jesus stepped through the wall. And what was the first word he said? Peace. He said peace. He said peace. Which is the restoration of everything. It's the restoration of everything. Shalom. It's all you need and more. Peace. And then he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And they who were once tearful and fearful and hiding went out boldly into the streets, declaring the wonders of God. They weren't even preaching the gospel. They just were declaring the wonders of God. They were worshiping in a park. And something happened and something shifted. So imagine what's happening. I believe Jesus is coming and he's breathing peace, speaking peace. You know, when I was coming over Peter's Mountain on my way up here today, I turned off my radio. I have a playlist of worship songs. I turned it off. I just looked out over the valley. I like that moment. You know, you're coming around. My wife always gets scared because I'm looking out the valley. She said, turn the car. So I'm looking out and I'm hearing her in the back of my mind going, turn the car. And then I heard this hymn that my Nana used to sing over me as a little boy. There's peace in the valley. There's peace in the valley. And I don't believe it was just, and I looked over the valley and peace in the valley. But I'm thinking about it now. I don't think the Lord was just saying, I'm bringing peace to this valley. I think he's saying, I'm bringing peace to the valley that you're in. I'm bringing peace. Those who feel like they're at their lowest point, I'm bringing peace in the valley. And you and I can be bringers of peace to people in their valleys. That even in the middle of their valleys, the toughest time, can we ever get out of this? What's going to go on? We can bring amazing peace to the valley. Our friend James Gall shared a word recently, and he said there is a revival, an awakening that's coming to America, but it's going to be unlike any other revival. It's going to begin as a rural revival. Now, I'm rural. I grew up rural. I grew up in a small high school. School colors were green and yellow so we could wear our John Deere caps to graduation. We were rural, okay? And let's face it, you know, Harrisburg, we're right near the capital city. Well, in Harrisburg, you can see silos from the steps of the Capitol. You can smell manure. I'm meaning outside of the Capitol building. But he said there is a rural awakening because he said, here's what God's going to do. God's going to heal the heart of America by starting in the heartland. So let's not see ourselves as you know, kind of incidental, what's really happening. No, we are crucial to a move of God. And what happens in our hearts, any move of God always starts in someone's heart, then in their family, then in their church, then in their community, and then it spreads. Chuck Pierce, prophetic brother for years, very faithful prophetically, said recently, God's bringing an awakening to America. Watch Pennsylvania. So I put those two words together, and I put that word about that fearful, tearful group of people in an upper room that then were so turned around, so filled with the life of the Holy Spirit, they began to turn the world upside down one life at a time. It happens one life at a time. You know, I don't know about you. I mean, I'm kind of a shy person. This what you're hearing right now are most of the words that I will say for this entire week. I just I don't see myself as a street preacher. My son-in-law, he'll get up in the street anywhere. He'll just start preaching and people get saved. It's amazing. You know, people get resaved. I mean, he just has this evangelist gift that just, you know, I think I'm saved, but I really want to be saved more than I am. And I mean, he's such an evangelist, you know. You say, well, I don't think I'm that way, Dave. Listen, my friend, if you met my friend who led her witch co-worker to Jesus, you'd say, her? Listen, there is nobody can't be used by God. Nobody can't be used by God. Can you imagine what happened that day when her friend came to Jesus and all the people she didn't? She says, boy, I'm going to have some stories to tell my coven. I thought, wow, you certainly are. The Lord turned her, you know, one life at a time. Let's see what God can do. So I believe today, more than a vaccine, I believe the Holy Spirit's given us a hope vaccine. I believe he's given us an injection of hope to not give up, to not quit, to be leaders, to be those that move and shake and make a difference, and to not be afraid, and to be very alert and be very attentive to what God's saying, and he's going to show it to you. So so how about if we do this? How about if we stand? And aren't you glad you don't have to social distance yourself? So if you're here, if you're watching at home, just put your hand on your heart. And let's make these declarations over our heart. I declare that I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. And not lean on my own understanding, because I don't understand what's happening. But I tell you what, I believe I can trust you, Lord, with all of my heart. So I trust you. And I trust you, Holy Spirit, to lead me into truth and away from deception. I trust your love to set me free from every vestige of fear. And I trust you, Lord, to sensitize me to the seasons that are going on and the opportunities that come my way so I can make the most of every one of them. I thank you you're going to help me to sniff out the enemy in every one of his schemes. I'm going to catch him. I'm going to catch him long before he even gives it a shot. And then I'm going to be filled with such revelation of who you are, I'm going to give it away to other people. I thank you that there's a river. We sang about the river of life today. Lord, let your river flow out of me. Let rivers of living water flow out of my mouth, out of my life, out of my behavior, into my family, into my community, into my friendships and relationships, Jesus. And we claim that. Rural awakening. Come on, how about we do that? We claim that rural awakening in Jesus' name. Yeah, we claim awake America. Come on, awake Pennsylvania. Yeah, come on, awaken, awaken, awaken Pennsylvania. William Penn prophesied years and years ago, our first governor, that we would be the seed, a holy seed to the nations of the world, a spiritual holy seed to the nations of the world. Wow, it's not yet happened, but baby, it's coming in Jesus' name. So Lord, fulfill your promises. And I bless this church family. Wow. I bless this church family. Let them be so ignited and so aware of your glory that you will do what we sang today. You will show them your glory. You're going to weigh in on every situation and show your significance in every situation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Hey, can we thank the Lord together for being a faithful father to us? We just love you. Jesus, you're a good shepherd. Thank you. Thank you. We love your word. Wash us. Wash us with it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.